is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House today announcing President Trump plans to impose 25% tariffs starting tomorrow on goods from Mexico and Canada and 10% on China. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
For the illegal fentanyl that they have sourced and allowed to distribute into our country.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says Canada will respond and also pushed back on those allegations.
Now, let me reiterate it. Our border is safe and secure. And less than 1% of fentanyl and illegal crossings into the United States come from Canada.
Mexico's president says they have plans ready if the U.S. moves forward with the tariffs, costs that could end up being passed along to consumers. Washington, D.C. fire crews say they have recovered 41 bodies from the Potomac River and expect to recover all 67 who are presumed dead after that mid-air collision of the American Eagle jet and military helicopter. Salvage crews could begin work tomorrow. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A number of wildfires have broken out across Wisconsin this week. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
When it's dry and windy, the risk of wildfires increases. And while January may not be peak wildfire season in Wisconsin, a line starting at the top of Door County and the northern edge of Brown County, all the way across the state and then southward towards the Illinois border, has been classified as a moderate fire risk by the DNR. Usually, the ground would be covered in snow right now, but warmer days and the second driest January on record make the conditions prime for a spark from a motor or a cigarette to cause a wildfire. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The southern two-thirds of the state, including the Cooley region, is considered to be at moderate risk for wildfires today. Another Toma School District school was placed on hold after a bullet was found in a bathroom Thursday. Students were held in classrooms while law enforcement investigated any potential threats and searched for weapons at Toma Middle School on Thursday. No threat or weapons were found. Last week, Toma High School had to be placed on hold after bullets were found in a bathroom there, making it the second time in just 6 days that ammunition was found in a Toma School District building. The city of La Crosse is set to take action next week on a new ordinance banning the release of balloons. According to a proposed ordinance document filed at the city's Judicial and Administrative Committee, the ban would apply to outdoor releases of balloons lighter than air. It carves out exceptions for scientific or weather balloons, as well as hot air balloons. Mayor Mitch Reynolds said that the balloons released outdoors end up polluting the environment and can affect grazing livestock. Today we'll have mild temperatures in the Cooley region with highs in the 40s. Tomorrow there's a chance of snow overnight into Sunday with accumulations under an inch expected. After a mild Sunday, we'll head back towards more seasonable temperatures Monday and Tuesday with highs in the 20s to low 30s. We'll have more details coming up in our Civic Media forecast.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go by downloading the free app. Get it now at civicmedia.us or on your device's app store.
For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers making changes on their coaching staff. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. ESPN reporting the Packers plan to hire DeMarcus Covington as their next defensive line coach. Covington was the Patriots' defensive coordinator last year. He was hired by Bill Belichick and was New England's defensive line coach when they won their most recent Super Bowl 5 years ago. But the Packers are losing linebackers coach Anthony Campanelli. After just 1 year in Green Bay, Campanelli is 42. He grew up in New Jersey playing linebacker at Rutgers.
I started as a high school coach. I grew up around high school football, you know, my father and my brothers and everything. So that's really where my background is.
College basketball. The Badgers hope to bounce back after losing at Maryland. Wisconsin will be at Northwestern tomorrow. Tip-off time, 1 o'clock. Number 9th ranked Marquette at home in Milwaukee against UConn tomorrow night. Game time, 7 p.m. The Bucks road trip continues tonight in San Antonio against the Spurs. Damian Lillard named to the All-Star team. He'll be joining Giannis as a reserve. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Bright, beautiful, and still mild today with highs soaring to the low 40s. While it may be cooler than yesterday, it's still well above average. And heads up, we have snow moving in tomorrow afternoon. It'll be light, less than a half an inch, and it could flip to a wintry mix and rain by Saturday night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and have an all-new What's Worse. Your chance to call in, have your voice heard. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. This is the Talk of Lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the best of the Maggie Dawn Show.
My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the second hour of today's Maggie Dawn Show. This one's special in a challenging way for me, everybody. And I'm going to talk a bit about it today. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know that despite my gruff and strong exterior, I am a big mushball at heart. And some of the things that have happened over the last, 36 hours have got me reeling, very scared, very upset. But don't worry. Before the end of the show today, I'm going to give us all some homework, some things to do so that we don't feel overwhelmed in these moments. And in this next hour, I'm going to list out, it's impossible to list out all of the things that Donald Trump has done in the last week and 2 days that are illegal. I don't think I could get through all of them. And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans. It is harmful to government accountability. We all say, no matter what our party is, that we want greater efficiency, greater effectiveness. We want the middle class to do better, for our government to serve the vast majority of Americans better. We listen to politician after politician after politician promise to do just that. And yet, here we are. And so the question to be asked of all of us, if these are the things that we say we want in overwhelming numbers, is fascism the way to get those things? Because this is what we've got now. So let's get into it. I want to start with the memorandum issued yesterday by the Office of Management and Budget, who's being run by a guy named Russell Vaught, who is one of the primary architects of Project 2025, who I will spend time discussing at greater length later this week. But in this memo that went to basically all federal agencies, It says this: to the extent permissible under applicable law, federal agencies must temporarily pause all activities related to the obligation of or disbursement of all federal financial assistance and other relevant agencies' activities. So let's just start there. To the extent permissible under applicable law is the lazy person's way of saying, I have no idea what I'm talking about, no idea what the law says, no idea what may be legal or legal, constitutional or unconstitutional, but I'm going to tell you to do this thing anyways, and then leave it up to you and people that might need to sue us to sort all of that out. In other words, it's a complete abrogation of responsibility by a federal employee. I would never in a million freaking years have ever written an opinion when I was the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County that said, here's what my opinion is, except if applicable law says otherwise. Because you know what? That was my stinking job. So that's garbage. Must temporarily pause all activities related to the expenditure of federal monies. What? So we're stopping spending federal monies. Okay. And, quote, other agency activities. What is that? All so we're not spending money and federal agencies have to stop doing activities. About what, you may ask? Well, that may be, maybe they might be. Who decides? Might be a court, a lawsuit, whomever's running the department, a frontline employee, I don't know, that may be related to foreign aid. Full stop. So, okay, foreign aid and other relevant activities must stop. Foreign aid. So, Israel, Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, all of Central and South America, Africa, the Far East, Hong Kong, Taiwan. Shall I continue? Don't even get me into the grammar rabbit hole about where the commas are placed in this thing. I'll just leave it with you. I am a grammarian, and it's garbage. They don't even know how to use commas, whoever wrote this. And by the way, more on that in a second. Foreign aid, stop. Non-governmental organizations, stop. So like Doctors Without Borders, Amnesty International. Oh, by the way, USAID was one of them. USAID, which is a federal executive branch agency. Basically, everybody's on leave. Like USAID has stopped. One of the things that USAID helps is to set up local governmental best practice functions in former Soviet Union republics. Just saying. It's like one of, forget democracy. Okay. So, you know, no foreign aid, no non-governmental organizations, comma, now separately listed, DEI. Here is my thing on DEI. No one in the Trump orbit knows what this means. I mentioned in the first hour, the Air Force stopped including in a training video mention of the Tuskegee Airmen because, you know, they were black. So is that DEI? Like, is anything that mentions female or that like a woman did this and it was important that she did this, or a black person or a Latino person or an Asian person? Can we talk about the internment of Japanese Americans? Or, since Donald Trump is invoking the Alien Enemies Act, is that also, you know, can't do that? Comma, woke gender ideology. So do we just not talk about gender? Like, there are no gender? I'm confused. Sounds like they are, too. Do they just use the word woke? Anyone be like, oh, if it's woke. Well, what does woke mean? Does woke mean I just don't like President Trump? That's now woke? And, comma, and the Green New Deal. Can we say the words climate change anywhere in the federal government? Or would that be prohibited other activities? Wait a minute. When does the First Amendment come into play? Because they love the... Is there cancel culture? Can we cancel woke gender ideology? Is that another activity? This is so stupid, it defies explanation. Oh, and by the way, this ban goes into effect today at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is in 46 minutes from now. TikTok, TikTok. This from Senator Senator Ron Wyden. My staff has confirmed reports that Medicaid portals are shut down in all 50 states following last night's federal funding freeze. This is a blatant attempt to rip away health care from millions of Americans overnight and will get people killed. What? Well, that would sure sound like, let's see here, let's refer back to this insightful, well-researched, well-cited legal document. Oh, yes. Stop, temporarily pause all federal financial assistance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Garbage. This is garbage. Now, likely violates the Impoundment Act because Congress has the power of the purse. Let me break that down and not use the word impoundment because what's that? It violates the separation of freaking powers. The Federalist Society? No. The Federalist Society needs a new name, don't you think? The American Kings Club. That's what I'm going to call it. That's the OMB memo. And it is stopping the provision of key services that you and people you love in this state, in Wisconsin, in Illinois, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in New Mexico, and in Arizona, and in Florida, Massachusetts, Vermont, California, Washington State. It is stopping the provision of services at the state and local level that will, and I promise you this, will get people killed. Donald Trump, he ain't even trying to help the middle class, won't agree to tax billionaires more. In fact, his confirmee to become Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, has said we need more billionaire tax cuts. But it is beyond that, folks. He not only doesn't care about your pocketbook, he doesn't care if you die. I don't know how else to break it down. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you have been waiting for one of those days where I light my hair on fire, it is one of them. And I'm not going to do this every day, because if I did, I'd have a heart attack and I wouldn't make it through 4 years of the Trump administration. But when it is necessary, I will do so. You can count on me every day to tell you whether I think it's one of those hair on fire kind of days, and today is one of them. Now, when we come back, because we got to take care of a little business here shortly, I am going to talk about the firing of long-serving, frontline, career law enforcement prosecutors and what that means. And then I'm going to put together this ridiculous garbage memo from the Office of Management and Budget, signed by and authored by Russell Vogt. Oh, wait, I forgot this about the OMB. This OMB memo, if you had any doubt who actually wrote it, you can tell by the data that was embedded in the document that it was written by the authors of Project 2025 from the Heritage Foundation. It's called metadata. They forgot to scrub it. Now, not only is the document dumb without citation or legal foundation, likely illegal, violating the separation of powers and the Impoundment Act, it's also dumb because they don't even know how to turn a Word document into a PDF and scrub the gosh darn metadata. We have fools in federal government, and it's only going to get worse. I tell you what it means to you when we come back after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us for a great conversation. 855-7-
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one. My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the best of the Maggie Dawn Show.
Can a mighty, mighty good man stand up? I've heard from two of them today. Former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn joined me in the first hour, and then my colleague Dan Schaefer for my news segment that you're going to find every Tuesday at 2:30 called The State Slate with Dan Schaefer. We're now into the second hour, and it's been a rough 36-ish hours for me. If you're new to the show, new to the Maggie Dawn Show, new to me, welcome. I appreciate you listening or tuning in on YouTube at Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on Insta X and the Book of Faces. I served for over 7 years as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer. Coming out of law school, I served as a clerk to Judge Michael Caney of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Judge Caney was a two-time Reagan appointee, first to the federal trial court and then to the federal appeals court. So I have served in government. I have both of my family members. My mom was a nurse. She worked in the VA in California for many years. My dad is a long-serving public servant. Service is in our blood. And it was my life's greatest honor to serve the people of Milwaukee County. And before that, I was an assistant city attorney for the city of Milwaukee. It was honor of my life to do that work. And it's now a deep, humbling privilege to talk with each and every one of you. I say all of this as prequel. Because what Donald Trump did yesterday is an abomination. Much of what he's done is an abomination, including the OMB directive that's basically like, oh, cool, just stop all federal assistance for stuff, which I talked about last segment. And the firing of the inspectors general, also illegal, was an abomination. But what happened last night and what is coming in terms of the Department of Justice and the FBI, of course, Dollar Dollar Bill Cash Patel's confirmation hearings coming up on Thursday. I'll cover it Thursday. What is going on right now in the FBI and the DOJ is so alarming. Donald Trump yesterday fired reportedly somewhere in the ballpark of 12 or more career prosecutors from the Department of Justice because they worked on either of the Trump criminal prosecutions. This was a letter from an acting attorney general, apparently emailed to these individuals, and it said this, quote, "The proper functioning of government critically depends on the trust superior officials place in their subordinates. Given your significant role in prosecuting the president, I do not believe that the leadership of the Department of Justice can trust you to assist in implementing the president's agenda faithfully." Here's what I'm going to tell you about government lawyers. They're not the lawyer of the president. Their client is not Donald Trump. Their job function isn't to serve a president's agenda, and it never should be. You can make an argument maybe that White House counsel's office is perhaps to do that, but I can make an argument that even there it's not. But setting that aside, Department of Justice lawyers, that is not their freaking job. My job when I was the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County wasn't to serve the county executive's agenda, which, by the way, made him really angry at me at certain points in time. My job wasn't to do the bidding of various county elected officials, though many of them that got really mad at me when I wouldn't do that. I experienced this firsthand. My job as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer was to serve the people and the entity, the people of and the entity that is Milwaukee County. And I took an oath to do that. The acting AG that sent this memo should lose his job because he doesn't know what his job is. It's not to serve the president's agenda. No, sir. Oh, by the way, this, like the OMB memo, is a very dense legal document filled with copious citations and an excellent deep analysis of the law. No, it's not. No, it's not. Here's the legal basis for that assertion. Quote, "Pursuant to Article 2 of the Constitution and the laws of the United States, your employment with the Department of Justice is hereby terminated." Article 2 does not give the president the power to override existing federal statutes that provide job protections to civil servants. He can fire at will appointees, but not inspectors general without notice to Congress in a 30-day waiting period and good cause. Doesn't apply to frontline prosecutors are civil servants that do not serve at the pleasure of the president. Otherwise, you'd see them in Senate confirmation hearings. Here's what else. That was just the tip of the iceberg yesterday. Okay? Because this interim or acting U.S. attorney also announced an internal investigation into the 250-plus January 6th cases that the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. investigated and prosecuted. That is a freaking witch hunt. Prosecutors who, when presented with facts and information by law enforcement officers, whether state, local, or federal, investigate and then charge crimes that are authorized by a grand jury indictment and present them before a court of law with federal rules of evidence where the defendants are entitled to counsel that are presided over by an Article III lifetime appointed judge, some of whom were Trump appointed judges, are not to be investigated by the Department of Justice for doing their jobs. What that is the threat of criminal prosecution being brought down on the heads of frontline prosecutors. Not only may you lose your job, we are now going to start coming after you criminally. I'm going to tell you what all this means, put it in the bigger context, what it might mean for you and yours right here in the state of Wisconsin. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With tariffs on our borders looking to take place tomorrow, let's look at what has happened in the past. I'm Ben Jarbo at the Midwest Farm Report, and Matt Tranel, a dairy analyst for EverAg, is here to explain what we saw back in 2018, as well as what we are seeing from other parts of the world with these imminent tariffs about to take place.
2018, they put some Mexico put some tariffs on the U.S. as a result of some of the tariffs when we were trying to renegotiate NAFTA. But I would caution everybody that Europe is currently working with Mexico on a free trade agreement as well, while this ordeal with the United States is going on. So some other countries are looking at this as an opportunity to get in with one of our major buyers. So either way, it's probably not, at least short term, a positive thing. Hopefully long term it is.
Matt Tranel with EverAg giving us an inside look on what the past has looked like and what the present is looking like when it comes to tariffs. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at the closing markets right after this.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Goldlight provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at what the markets look like on the close on this Friday. The markets see downward trend today as cash corn is down 8.25 at 482 and new crop corn is down 4 at 460.25. March soybeans are down 2 at 1042 and November soybeans are down 2.5 at 1051. March wheat closed down 7 at 559.5 and July wheat closed down 6.25 at 584.25. Milk is taking a hit today as Class 3 contracts for February are down 46 cents at 1996 a hundredweight, and March contracts are down 65 cents at 1936 a hundredweight. Cheese isn't looking much better as barrels are down 5.5 at 181, and 40-pound blocks are down 5.75 at 187.75. And butter finished the day down 1.75 at 243.25. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bright, beautiful, and still mild today with highs soaring to the low 40s. While it may be cooler than yesterday, it's still well above average. And heads up, we have snow moving in tomorrow afternoon. It'll be light, less than 0.5 inch, and it could flip to a wintry mix and rain by Saturday night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk about the controversy over how test scores are rated in Wisconsin schools and connect the dots to neglect from the legislature.
Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to the best of the Maggie Dawn Show.
Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. On January 27th, 1838, a 28-year-old Abraham Lincoln rose before the Young Men's Lyceum in Springfield, Illinois, to make a speech that he called The Perpetuation of Our Political Institutions. If destruction be our lot, he said, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. He was concerned about lawlessness in the country as men began to ignore the rule of law and act on their passions, imposing their will, their preferences on neighbors through violence. He pointed to two events which had just happened then. The lynching of a free black man, Francis McIntosh, in St. Louis, Missouri, and the murder of a white abolitionist editor, Elijah P. Lovejoy, by a pro-slavery mob in Alton, Illinois. But the problem of lawlessness, he said, wasn't limited to those individual instances. A public practice of ignoring the law had eventually broken down all guardrails. While the lawbreakers went unpunished and became convinced that they were entitled to act without constraint, without any fear of punishment, quote, having ever regarded government as their deadliest bane, Lincoln said, they made a jubilee of the suspension of its operations and pray for nothing so much as its total annihilation. As the patriots of 76 did to support the Declaration of Independence, so too the support of the Constitution and laws. Let every American pledge his life, his property, his sacred honor. Let reverence for the laws become the political religion of the nation. And let the old and the young, the rich and the poor, the grave and the gay, of all sexes and tongues and colors and conditions, sacrifice unceasingly upon its altars. And Lincoln warned that the very success of the American Republic threatened its continuation. Quote, men of ambition and talents could no longer make their name by building the nation, since that glory had already been won. Their ambition could not be served by simply preserving what those before them had created. So they sought to seek distinction through the nation's destruction. For such a man, Lincoln said, quote, distinction will be his paramount object. And although he would as willingly, perhaps more so, acquire it by doing good as harm, yet that opportunity being passed, and nothing left to be done in the way of building up, he would set boldly to the task of pulling down. And with no dangerous foreign power to turn people's passions against, people would turn from the project of establishing and maintaining civil and religious liberty and would instead, Lincoln predicted, turn against each other. He reminded his audience then that the torch of American democracy had been passed to them, that the founders had used their passions to create a system of laws, but that the time for passion had passed, lest it tear the nation apart. He asked the next generation to support democracy through sober reason. And he called for Americans to exercise, quote, general intelligence, sound morality, and in particular, a reverence for the Constitution and laws. Upon these, let the proud fabric of freedom rest as the rock of its basis. And as truly as has been said of the only greater institution, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This became known as the Lyceum Address, and it is one of the earliest speeches that Lincoln gave that has been preserved. And it really established his political career. That fundamental message that the law has to prevail over individual passions and political preferences speaks exactly to the moment that we find ourselves in today. With credit to Heather Cox Richardson, a historian that I've had on the show a number of times, that was her work pulling that together, as well as, of course, Lincoln's own words. Former U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid had this to say about Donald Trump's firing of career federal prosecutors who dared to try to hold the most powerful man in this country accountable for his actions, including the actions that he took after he left the Oval Office when he stole our nation's secrets. Here's what Barbara McQuaid said of Donald Trump's firing of these career prosecutors last night. Prosecutors did nothing wrong in bringing obstruction cases just because the Supreme Court subsequently interpreted the Constitution to prohibit that, despite no such limitation in the Constitution's text. By assigning supervisors to conduct an internal investigation, which has just been announced last night, they're going to actually conduct a witch hunt. Donald Trump creates an impression of misconduct by these prosecutors. Trump and his allies often complain about witch hunts. This is what a witch hunt really looks like. That from Barbara McQuaid. Here is what I fear. That now we will have to call this a witch hunt. Now we will have to talk about political prosecutions, because I am making the prediction here right now. It is 3:42 p.m. Central Time on January 28th. There will be career prosecutors in the Department of Justice who will end up facing criminal charges because they did their jobs. You think Christopher Wray was an abomination? His case was dismissed. Here we go again. My fear is that we have to call it a witch hunt, that political prosecutions are going to happen. And now the MAGAverse will simply say, see, we were right. But the doctrine of false equivalencies is the fancy word for BS. False equivalency is BS. We watched January 6th with our own eyes. We've heard from officers like Harry Dunn and Danny Hodges, who I've had on my show and did again today. People committed crimes. Jack Smith's report concluded that he would have convicted Donald Trump of crimes had the Supreme Court not waved its magic wand and declared presidents kings. So I want to step back. Here's what we got going on. The National Science Foundation has shut down hundreds of meetings to disperse federal grants. The National Institutes of Health are shutting down research projects, stopped hiring. They have stopped communicating with the public. USAID has put basically everybody on leave. The State Department, God knows, is that shut down? There are hiring freezes across the federal government. Job offers have been rescinded. Loyalty pledges in the form of Explain Your MAGA Awakening now appear on federal job applications. The inspector generals, the independent watchdogs of federal agencies have been fired. The Office of Management and Budget just, you know, stopped all federal spending, I guess. And now, frontline federal prosecutors are being threatened with criminal prosecution. They are being fired for doing their jobs. And don't forget me talking about local law enforcement and Donald Trump's threat to criminally prosecute local law enforcement officers if they do not participate in the violation of people's Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights in violation of the 10th Amendment principle of federalism. And Kash Patel, with his enemies list, is about to become the FBI director, the director of the world's largest law enforcement organization. Security details have been pulled from those with whom Donald Trump disagrees, putting their lives in danger. Dr. Fauci, Bill Barr, John Bolton, the list goes on. And Donald Trump just greenlit roving lynch mobs, because as long as it's in Donald Trump's interest, you will be pardoned. When they came for the socialist, I didn't speak because I wasn't a socialist. When they came for the unionist, I didn't speak either because I wasn't a unionist. When they came for the Jews, I remained silent because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me. When are they coming for you? This isn't how government works. This isn't how democracies work. And those should be principles and values that transcend any political system of beliefs, whether government should be smaller or bigger, whether we deride the choice of pronouns, whether we believe we've done enough to achieve equality in this nation or not. This is fascism. And he promised it and he delivered it. And Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation and the Billionaire Boys Club authored it, and he's just signing the orders. You deserve better. If you voted for Donald Trump, you deserve better. And if you stayed home, shame on you, but you deserve better. And if you voted for Kamala Harris, you deserve better. We all deserve better than this. This is lawlessness. This is favor trading. This is corruption. And let me tell you, it shouldn't be the case that to serve our country, you have to have the fortitude of Abraham Lincoln or the bank account to defend yourself from a federal investigation. That shouldn't be the litmus test for government service, because what we will do is empty all levels of government from every person who, in good faith, without fear or favor, wishes to serve. We will set every level of government back decades by the level of incompetence and self-interest and transactionalism that we're seeing on display, and it is only day 7. Now, I've made a promise to myself and each and every one of you that I will never leave a show without a ray of hope, without a thing to do to make it better. And today is no exception. So while I am heartbroken, having received probably upwards of 50 texts from people across all levels of government, from friends working as lawyers in federal government, afraid for themselves and their families and their livelihood and the future. Yeah, I'm afraid. You may be afraid too. You may be just ticked off. I'm that too. But now is the moment that we stand up. I'm going to give you some hope and an assignment when we come back. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Eagle 1490 AM. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. but that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreidlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the best of The Maggie Dawn Show.
Never give up. Never give up that fight for which you know to be true and right. That is your solemn duty, obligation, and privilege as an American. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't worry, I don't light my hair on fire every day, but today it needed to get lit, y'all. For the last hour, I've been talking about the culmination of a whole array of actions Donald Trump has taken. It is lawlessness. And I've stitched it together, but I have made a promise to myself and to each and every one of you that I'm never going to leave a show without giving you something to do to make it better, to never, ever give up. And this stuff's bad. I mean, it's real bad. I barely slept last night. Many of my friends barely slept last night. But I'm going to give us a list of things to do together this week and in these coming weeks and in these coming years. And the first one is to take care of yourself. Being on this show with all of you is like therapy for me. What's your outlet? Maybe it's calling in, maybe it's texting Bill from Green Bay, Carrie from Tosa, Tom from Jackson, Mark from Prairie du Sac. I appreciate each and every one of you. Cam, of course, from Appleton, Steve in Milwaukee, Mary from Mount Horeb. Sorry, I haven't been able to get to your text today, but I wanted to get this all out there for you all. So take care of yourself. Take a break when you need it. I'm going to have a good meal and hopefully go to bed early tonight. Because I'm pooped. The second thing is, see if you can get a couple people you know that aren't registered to vote, and convince them to check in on this next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, April 1st of this year. Just over 60 days from now. April 1st. I think I said it was the 25th. It's April 1st of this year. Now, here's the hard part. Got two easy things. Take care of yourself. Get a couple people registered to vote. Convince them to check in on this next Supreme Court election. Here's the hard part. Sometime this next couple of weeks, I want you to sit down and talk with someone that you very much disagree with about something that you very much feel passionately about. And before you have that conversation, I want you to go online and I want you to read about their perspective, the perspective that you disagree with. I want you to go research it. And I want you to open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. And I want you to try to have a conversation about that thing. And challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Because I'm going to tell you, there is a solution for what is going on. And yes, I do think courts will stand up and most judges will stand up and do the right thing. But that's a small measure of solace because the impacts are going to be immediate and those court cases take forever. But there is a solution. And that is, on a micro level, to enact laws that insulate the Department of Justice and the FBI from political control and power. There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We can start demanding a democracy where the laws that get enacted and the referendums on our ballots actually reflect the things that we think are most important. So go have the tough conversations. Because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations. I'm still not my best at them from time to time, but I keep trying. Heck, if you've been listening to this show, I sometimes try to have them on this show when I hear from my good conservative friends. And I always try to treat people with respect because I truly believe that the vast majority of us know BS when we hear it. We know that what's happening now isn't good for us. And we know the tax cuts for billionaires on top of other already in place tax cut for billionaires ain't good for the middle class. And I'll say this as well. We all know that presidents aren't kings. Now, I'll end with the easiest thing that you possibly can do after you have that tough conversation. In that conversation, I guarantee this person, this friend, this family member, this colleague that you disagree with about something that you're real passionate about is going to say something that you're like, I hear this all the time, or I've never heard that. What the heck is that? Write it down. And then email me that at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. And I'll address those questions this coming Friday at 3 o'clock in the new segment, Ask Maggie. Remember, friends, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Dom Salvia is up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Dom Salvia.
Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recuses from the Act 10 case. Also, Wisconsin GOP lawmakers seek to require public schools to display In God We Trust. Will that stop school shootings?
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not Clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and tariffs set to begin tomorrow on goods from China, Canada, and Mexico. ABC's Dave Packer has more on what it could mean for your wallet.
The Trump administration plans to impose 25% tariffs on all imports from Canada and Mexico starting February 1st. Supply chain experts say that could raise gas prices by up to 70 cents per gallon in parts of the U.S. and send grocery bills soaring, especially for produce like avocados and tomatoes. Car prices could also climb since nearly half of all U.S. auto imports come from those two countries.
In Washington, D.C., fire crews say they've recovered 41 of the 67 people on both that military helicopter and American plane that collided Wednesday over the Potomac River. Salvage crews have arrived and are expected to remove the wreckage of that aircraft. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is a criminal defense attorney at the Justice Department headquarters in Washington today. Sources familiar with the matter told ABC News discussing the future of his bribery case. This is ABC News.